So we are on Daf Mem Vav on the base. We're on the fifth wide line. Says the Gemara, Boilehu Kvura Mishum Bizyoinohu Oi Mishum Kaporahu. The Gemara has a Shaila. What is the function of Kvura? We discussed this Barichos, and that's why we can afford to go a little bit quickly this time. What is the whole purpose of Kvura? Is Kvura as a Kapora for the mace? Alternatively, is it because of a bezoyin for the mace? A bezoyin for the mace. L'may nafkimina, what will be the difference? Either way, you've got to do kavur, as we said before. No, the difference is the omar loy bo'inon de l'kavur l'hai gavra. If the person says, I don't want to be buried, I don't want to be buried. So, mishum bezoyinohu, if it's because of bezoyin, in other words, what's the bezoyin? The bezoyin is that if you don't bury the body and it decomposes in public, that's a bezoyin. It's a public bezoyin. So it's all fine and well for him to say, I don't want to be buried, but it's still a bezoyin to his relatives. So loy kol kmine. So he's got no right to say that. But v'yom kapara, if it's something nothing to do with the onlookers, it's something very personal. In order to provide a kapara for him, well, he's fully entitled to say, I'd rather not have a kapara. He says, I don't want it. So that's his prerogative. Says the Gemara, Mai, so what will be the halacha? How do we pass him? Says the Gemara, Toshamar. Again, we go through all the psukim and the rayas that we quoted previously in the Gemara. Toshamar, mid ikvar tzadiki. We know there were great tzadikim, the obvious HaKadoshim, and others who were buried. Now, why would they need to be buried? If it's to act as an atonement, tzadiki kapara tzrichi, do tzadikim need a kapara? The answer is yes. And to ksiv odom ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechto. There's nobody who's perfect. So we don't have a proof from there. Toshema, the other psukim we brought, the v'saftu lo kol Yisrael, the Novi predicts that there will be a hesped, the v'kavru oisei. V'i omrat ki heichad tehavale kapara. So hanach nami likvuru ki heichad tehavalu kapara. So if it's for a kapora, so why are we saying that there's a special dispensation for this big tzaddik is going to have a kavura? What about everybody else? Hi, the tzaddik who says the Gemara, who did to have a kapora? Bahanach, loy kapora. That's exactly what the Novi is predicting, that those who are Rishoim will suffer and they will not deserve a kapora. Not that they don't need it. They will not be zeicher to it. Toshema, lo yispedu v'lo yikvaru. We have a brayse again, a similar pasuk where the Novi predicts that the Rishoyim will not be zeicher to the Kavura, and the answer is yes, to loy tahavelu kapara, so that they should not be zeicher to a kapara. Again, not because they don't need it, they definitely need it, but rather they don't deserve it. So we don't have a proof. Iboyeluhu. So the Gemara began now a very lengthy discussion. We've discussed now what's the purpose of the kavura? Now we talk about Iboyeluhu Hespeda. What is the purpose of the Hespedim? Is it Yakra Dechayav or Yakra Deshichbiav? Is it for the honor of the dead person or the honor of those left behind who are alive? My nafkimina. Domar loitis bedula, hai gavra. Romans V says, I don't want Hespedim. So if it's in his honor, he can waive his honor. If it's in the honor of the live people, then he can't forego on their honor. Or inami lafukim yorshin, can you charge the yorshin money to pay for maspidim? Remember we discussed this last time. There used to be professionals who used to come and do hespedim, used to pay them. So can we extract money? Can we force the yesomim, the children, the yorshin, to pay for the hespedim? So if it's in their honor, well, they've got every right to say, well, we'd rather overlook our honor in order to save ourselves some money. But if it's in honor of the dead, then they've got to pay for it. Toshema, vayovo Avram lispoid lesorol of koiso. Avinu came to cry and to eulogize Sarah. If you're going to say that the whole function is as an honor for the live person, in this case, Avraham Avinu, does it make sense that for the honor of Avraham, we would leave Sarah lying around? Remember, Avraham was out of town. He had to come from the Akedah. So if it's in the honor of the dead persons, I understand it's worth keeping the dead person lying around in order that eventually there should be hespedim. But we should keep the dead person lying around in order to honor the live person. What happened to Bizoyin Ames? Says the Gemara, no, Sarah would have allowed it. Sarah gufa nichale keicha de miyaka b'Avram. Sarah would clearly have forfeited her own honor, and she would be more than happy for her body to be lying there, even if it's a bizoyin for her, in order that there should be hespedim, which, as mentioned, could be covered for Avraham Avinu. Toshima, we bring these psukim again. V'softu loy kol Yisrael v'kavru oisoi. V'i amr mishum yikra d'chaya uhanach b'nei yikra. Are these people deserving of honor? Tzadikim want others to get honor on their behalf, even if the others are not necessarily righteous.
Rebbe, each Toshma is another proof,
Another attempt
or
at
it's
a.
come. It's an
Correct.
attempt. So every time it says Toshma, that means the proof it gave before is out.
No, it doesn't mean we've proved. The opposite means the previous proof ended up being non-conclusive. So we're trying again. Yeah, Toshima, fourth bottom line. Again, the psukim we quoted earlier, lo yispudu v'lo yikvaru. So again, whose honor is that? If it's the honor for the Rishoyim, so I understand the Rishoyim don't deserve it, but if it's for the live people, why would you waive the hespedim? The answer is lo nicha letzadikeh demikraya. Because tzaddikim don't want to be honored by having hespedim over wicked people. Why are we foretelling the future about what's going to be one day? If it's for the live people, so what's the nafkamina? What's the difference to them? And that's why would you tell somebody, do you know something, that when you pass away, you're going to be zeicher to hespedim? That all makes sense if indeed it's covered for the mace. So you're foretelling now that you're going to be zeicher to this covered. But if it's a covered for, but if it's a covered for the live people, so why are you telling this person who's about to pass away you're going to have a hespedim? The answer is, Hochi Kamarle, what we're telling him is, Liyakri Bechor Yisrael. Yes, it's an honor for you that Klal Yisrael will be honored. Kehecha demis yakri. So therefore, what we're telling the dead person is, it's an honor for you to be the cause of honor of Klal Yisrael. Top line, Toshima, Nivze Beinov Nimas. Zechizkio Melech Yehuda. What did he do to his father? Shegirer atzamos oviv al mito shel chavalim. His father was a rasha, and he therefore carried his father on a very demeaning type of bed, a bed of ropes. V'imishum yikra d'chaya. But if it's an honor for the live person, if it's an honor of the dead persons, I understand. He was trying to be mevazeh, the dead person. But if it's the live person, what was he trying to do? He was trying to mevazeh himself. V'imishum yikra d'chaya hu mai taima. There it says, ki heicha d'tavelu kapora la'avuha. Because he thought if he has this levaya, then enochlami, he's demeaning himself, but at least that might bring an atonement for his father. U'mishum kapora d'avuha mashalu li'yikra. So just because the dead person needs an atonement, are we now going to waive the honor of Klal Yisrael? Remember, if we say that a levaya is in honor of Klal Yisrael, of the live people, then by having a demeaning type of levaya, what that means is that essentially you're having, you're demeaning the honor of Klal Yisrael. So how can you say that, yes, in order that the dead person shall have a kapara, therefore we're going to belittle the honor of Klal Yisrael? The answer is that they would waive their honor. Yisrael gufayu, Yisrael themselves, nichaluhu, would be okay with this. The miyachali yikrayu legabe. The meichali yikrayu legabe. They would be happy for the dead person to get a kapara. Toshemar, omalohen, al tispuduni ba'ayorois. This was Rabbeinu HaKadosh who said, do not, when I pass away, he said, do not eulogize me in the small cities, only in the large cities. So, v'i omrit yikra dechaya, if it's in honor of the live people, why is he giving instruction? If it's in his own honor, so I understand he's giving instruction how he would like to be honored. But if it's an honor of live people, what's the difference to him whether there's a large crowd or a small crowd? No, kasova lisyakru be Yisrael tfei, because he thought if there's a large crowd, that indeed would be a bigger kavod for Klal Yisrael, and that's what he was concerned about. Yes, that there should be a big kavod for Klal Yisrael. Toshema, didn't we say in our Mishnah, hilinu lichvoidoi, even though you can't leave a dead body overnight, but if you do it in his honor, for example, lahavi lo orem v'tachricha, then eino over olav, then you're not transgressing the lav. Now, what does it mean in the kovet? In whose kovet? My lav lichvoidoi shalmeis. Seems to be that the issue is you're leaving the dead body lying overnight in honor of the mace. So it seems to be all about the mace, not about the live people. Says the Gemara, no, it's no riot. It could be like lichvoidoi shel chai. In other words, it could be dignity for the live people to bring a coffin, etc., etc. And that way, I'm allowed to leave the dead body overnight. So, what about the dead body? Umishum mavis. So, just because of the honor of the live people, we're going to now leave the mace lying around overnight? Says the Gemara, yes. And ki omar achmona loisolin nivlosoi dumya de toluy de isboy bizoyin. Given the less by bizoyin, loy. If there's no bizoyin to the live people, then it's no problem to keep the body overnight. If they left the dead body overnight, ayoros, in order to announce it to cities, or makoinonos, in order to bring people to give hespedim, elo shalmeis. So again, it seems to be that the emphasis is all about the honor of the mace. Once again, the Gemara says, no, no proof. Because all it means is, so this we said, even if the concept of the hespedim, etc., etc., is covered for the live, but you're not allowed to bring about bizoyim for the mace. But we don't have a proof that it's in honor of the dead person. It could be it's in honor of the live person. It's just a requirement not to be mevazeh the mace. So far, every single proof has been knocked out, but here comes the final proof. Toshema Reb Nosnoyma, Simon Yofel Ameis, it's a good omen for a dead person, Shenifroin Menulach, if he seems to have some type of punishment even after he's dead. For example, Meis Shaloi Nispeid, if there's no Hespeidim, Vole Nikvar, he wasn't Zecha to a burial, Oshachaya Goyrosoi, or an animal dragged his body around, Oshay Geshomim Zalfin Al Mitosoi, Zeu simon yofel ames. So various simonim that if these bad things happened after he died, so clearly that's a simon yofel because it means he's being zeicha to a last minute kapara that will spare him of Gehenna. So it seems to be all about the kavod of the mace. Hare, after all, if these issues, the whole purpose of the levaya etc., was covered for the chai, then why would that be a simon yofel to the mace? Shema mino. What do you see? Yikra deshichpihu. So you quite clearly see that it's all about the honor of the dead. Shma mino. Yes, indeed, it is. So that is the conclusion.
Okay.
Rebbe, you're frozen.
Everybody's ready.
No, just the Rebbe's frozen. I could see you all moving. Yeah, he's moving. Nachum's moving. It's I mean, you're not moving a lot. You're moving, but not a lot.
Rabbi's fighting here. He should run going again, yeah?
And me, my mouth is moving, which is really the icker. It's the only thing that's important.
Okay, we can.
Rebbe, can I just a quick question? If all these nisyonos, or these things rather, these yisurim that are happening to the mace after he died, that are a kapara, it's a good sign for him. Can you also interpret and say a person with the end of his life has a lot of last second suffering? You know, a lot of people get sick very, very, they're healthy, 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 and all of a sudden for like a year or a month, they got a lot of tremendous. It's like they're in this spiritual mikveh ke'ilu. Is there a connection there that it's a gift from Hashem, like before you get to Shemayim, that he should be mechaper for you?
Yeah. There is a principle generally that Yisurin are mechaprim, but yes, it could be especially at the end of the life. Yes, correct. Okay, the Kol Kach Lomo. So why is he not buried together with his family members? The answer is the Fisha Ein Koivrin Rosha Eitzel Yisrael, because you cannot possibly bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik. Rosha Eitzel Tzaddik. The Omar. Rav Acha bar Chanina Minayin. How do we know indeed this principle that you cannot bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik? Shenema. If you remember, there was this Novi Sheker who died. He ended up being buried next to Elisha. He just touched Elisha, and all of a sudden, miraculously, the dead person became alive again. Why? How come this Tchiyas HaMeisim came about? The answer is because he couldn't possibly be buried next to Elisha. Omalei Rav Papa, how do you know that's the interpretation? V'dilmalei kiyumei, maybe it's just in order to fulfill the pasuk that says, Vayihi no pi shnayim beruchacha Eli. In other words, we know that Eliyahu HaNavi produced Tchiyas HaMeisim once. Elisha had to produce it twice. So maybe this was just a fulfillment of that. Who says it's anything to do with this principle that a dead Rosha can't be buried next to a tzaddik? Maybe it's just in order to fulfill the instruction, as it were, for him to produce his second Tchiyas HaMeisim. No. It doesn't say that he actually went home. He just stood up. So what was the point of that? If it was indeed to produce Tchiyas HaMeisim, then clearly it would have to bring him to life. So he should continue to live a successful life. So where do we find, where is the second Tchiyas HaMeisim de'ichaya that he brought about Tchiyas HaMeisim? If you're telling me that this is not one of them, so where is the second one? The answer is on Rabbi Yochanan, sheripat tzoras Naaman, because he healed the leprosy, the tzoras of Naaman. She's shkula kames. Somebody has tzoras is comparable to a dead body, deksiv, dead person, deksiv, al noti kames. Right. Ukashem Shein Kovrin Rosha Tzaddik. Just like we have a principle that you don't bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik, Kach Ein Kovrin Rosha Chomur Eitzel Rosha Kal. So not only can you not bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik, you can't even bury a heavyweight Rosha next to a lightweight Rosha. So the list.
So the pasuk with Elisha is the source that
So
we
the
can't.
pasuk of Elisha is the source that the reason why he was zeicha to come back to life was not because
Yes.
Elisha had to produce tchiyas hamesim that was fulfilled elsewhere. It's because of this principle, this Navi Sheker could not possibly be buried with Elisha. Not only that, the Gemara is saying now, even if they're both Roshoim, but if one is a more severe Rosha than the other, they also can't be buried together. And that's why there needs to be separate Beis HaKvarais for those killed by Beis Din. So how many altogether? So the Mishnah said there's just two. So why don't you have four? V'liskin arba kvarois. If there's four types of death penalties that can be carried out by Beis Din, so why don't we have four different Beis HaKvaros? And the answer is shnei kvarois gemara gemiri lo. It's a halacha Moshe Mesinai that it's got to be split up two and two. Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Says the Gemara. Yes, Rabbi.
What if someone's a known Russia, but he was never convicted by Beis Din? But now everybody knows. Everybody knows this guy was a known Russia. Do we bury him with Tzaddikim, or do we say, listen, maybe he never got caught, and maybe never brought to Beis Din, never punished, but This guy was a Russia Gemara. You know, what do you do?
So I'm not sure halachically, but we do know that people are very makpid, Shomrei Shabbos, those who keep Taras HaMishpacha, to be buried in a specific Beis HaKvaros, which bury only those who are makpid on those halachas. That's why we have the principle, Ad HaYom HaZeh, of a Haredi Beis HaKvaros. By the way, here in Beit Shemesh is a whole big controversy, because until recently, there was actually no municipal Beis HaKvaros for those who are Shomer Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, that just got sorted out very recently, but with a big travesty. Okay, says the
Is the
Gemara,
one
Omar.
is the one in by the Kiryat, is the, yeah, what's it called? Whatever, is that a kosher Beis HaKvaros?
Which one? There's one, it's called
Beit
Eretz.
HaEla, is it Beit HaEla?
I'm not
Not
sure that is.
Beit HaEla, the one along the
On the main highway, that's called
it's in
Eretz.
Bet.
No, not that one. There's one
The
by the
one in Bet.
Kiryat.
Yeah.
It's by the Kiryat.
I don't know that one.
It's like a, it's a municipal one. It's not a private one.
Right. I
Right.
don't. Okay. Not sure. Says the Gemara, Oma Ula, on the fifth wide line, Omar Rabbi Yechon, Ochal Chelev. If somebody ate Chelev, which is also to eat, Vehifrish Karban, he then separated a Karban in order to act as an atonement for what he's done. Veheimir Dosoi, and then he gave up his religion, which means he's become a Rasha. So at this particular point, you cannot sacrifice his Karban. Allah is not allowed to sacrifice a Karban of a Rasha. Vechozar boi. But then he was chozer b'tshuva, so we have the famous principle of hoyel v'nitcha yitcha. Once rejected, always rejected, means even though he's now a tzaddik, and you would, in theory, be allowed to sacrifice his carbon, but in practice, we don't do so. Why? Because he used to be a rasha. And once he was a rasha, the carbon was rejected. Once the carbon is rejected, it remains rejected. One principle. Itmanami, we seem to learn exactly the same elsewhere, slightly different example. Not that he gave up his religion, but he came a shaita, which means he lost his das. And as we explained last time, somebody who lost his das cannot be makriv a korban. But then he became healed, and he now has got his das back. Is hoyel v'nitcha yitcha. Once again, we say, I'm sorry, even though the person now is of healthy mind. But nonetheless, we cannot sacrifice his carbon because once he lost his mind, at that point, the carbon was rejected and it stays rejected. So we have two cases of rejection. Either it was rejected because he gave up his religion or because he's lost his das. So why do I need both cases? V'tzricha. D'iyashmin on kamaisa, because if I'd only have the first case in which he gave up his religion, I'd say that's worse. Mishum d'iyu docha nafshei b'yodayim. I might have said that that's worse because he gave it up willingly, not against his will. But in the case of when he had just happened automatically, lost his mind, that's nothing to do with him. Maybe it's just like he's sleeping. Says the Gemara, and if I only would have said the second case, because when a person lost his mind, it's ein b'yodo lachso. He cannot do anything, as it were, to bring that back. So maybe that's the worst type of rejection. But in the case when he left, gave up his religion, so maybe I can view it just as temporary. In the same way as he gave it up, he could bring it back. So maybe that's not considered such a severe rejection. That's why it's tzricha. I need both cases to be sold. No, it doesn't make a difference whether it happened automatically, whether he could bring it back. It's all irrelevant. Once rejected, rejected. Omer Rabbi Yosef, af anonami tanina. So Rabbi Yosef says, I can bring a proof from this from a braisa. Well, what is it? Nachum.
Just going to talk about Irini Dachas. We were confused yesterday, Rabbi Avram and myself, about the process for the Irini Dachas. Do they evacuate the city? Do the people die in the
Two
city?
things happen. Two things happen in Irini Dachas. Everybody in the city is killed, even if technically some of them did not serve Avodah Zarah, but by virtue of the fact that Rove of the city did, everybody is killed, number one. Secondly, it says the Sorafton, you have to burn, is Kol Shlala, all the items in the town.
So what's happening here? Did the animals, they take those animals out of the city first? Like, how come the animals didn't get burned here in this?
No, that's the chiddush. You do not burn those karbonis. Even though it says you've got to burn all of the shlala, shlala means you burn all of their assets. But assets which are considered to be kadosh are not theirs, and for those are first taken out, and those are not burned. The chiddush of the Gemara is, even though they're not burned, but they still can't be sacrificed. Says the
And how are the
Gemara,
people killed?
everybody in town is killed.
They're burned.
No, everybody is put to death. Besides for that, the items are burned. The people are not burned. People are killed in some other way. Everybody's put to death by Beis Din, and then all of the town's property is burned except for Kochim. So, Hoyuba Kochim, Kochim Mizbeach. If it's Kochim that would essentially go on the Mizbeach, I'm sorry to say it cannot be sacrificed. So, what do you do with it? Your Musu is going to be left to die. Kochim Bede Kabayis, Yiftu. If it's Kochim Bede Kabayis, which means something which would not go on the Mizbeach. Just you a makdish. You can makdish anything you like. You can makdish a pencil or a table or an apple. It doesn't go on the Mizbeach, but again, it's not burned. Why is it not burned? Because it's Kodesh. So it's got to be redeemed. Ve'havinon bo. So the question on that becomes, Amayo Musu, given the Iktu, Havalu Kapora. Surely once the people in the town have been killed, surely they'll be now Zeicher to a Kapora. And if they've been Zeicher to a Kapora, they're no longer a Shoim. So why can you know? Not be makriv their carbon. So doesn't that show the liski little gavaya? Let us bring the carbon to the mizbeach. Lav mishum. Isn't that because of the principle? So we seem to have another proof, a makor from irni dachas, this principle of dichui, that even though the people have now been killed, they're no longer considered rishoyim. It doesn't matter, but they once were, and if they once were rishoyim. And at that point, their carbon was rejected. So, Mamela, the carbon remains rejected, says the Gemara. No, there's no proof. Omale Abaya, mi sovrot. Do you really hold that Mace mitoich rishoy havelu kapora? These people died, it's true, but they died as rishoyim. That's not a kapora. Mace mitoich rishoy loy havelu kapora. There's no atonement for somebody who dies as a wicked person. How do I know? The Tanya of Shemaya, Yochel, Afilu, Pirshu, Avoiso, Midarke, Tzibur, Yitmar. Remember, this was the case of the Kohen whose father dies, and he wants to become Tomei to attend his Leviathan. But if his father has gone off the Derech, then he's not allowed to become Tomei. Talmud Lema, Ba'amov, Ba'oisin, Ma'isa, Amov. You can only become Tomei for the father, this Kohen, if the father indeed acts and practices as a Jew. But if not, then not. So what do you see from over there? Even though the father's already died. So it's true in his lifetime he was a Rosha. But now that he's died, why don't you say he's now a Tzaddik and the son can become Tomei from him? So what do I see? That no, if somebody died as a Rosha, then he's still considered a Rosha. So too in Irni Dachas, it's true these people died, but they died as a Rosha, they remain a Rosha. And that's why you can't be Makar of the Karbon, but there's no proof to the principle of Dichui. Amalei Ravan, there's no Raya. Mikom Adames, can you possibly compare Nerag mitoich rishoy lemeis mitoich rishoy? Very big difference to somebody who died as a Rosha as opposed to somebody who was killed as a Rosha. So in the case of the Kohen's father, it's true. He lived as a Rosha, he died as a Rosha. There was no reason for him to get a kapara. That's what the Gemara says. Meis mitoich rishoy, if he merely died as a Rosha, given the ki urche komais, because he died as it were in natural means, is loy havale kapara. And that's why the son cannot become Tommy from him. But in the case of Irani Dachas, the people did not die of natural causes. Nerag mitoich rishoy, given the lav ki urche mais, because they did not die in the ordinary way, natural causes, surely have a look kapara. And I can bring a proof. Teidah will bring a posse for the Beis Hamikdash. It says, Mizmor la'asof elekim bo. Goyim b'nachalasecha, timus heicha kodshecha, nosluest anavlas avidecha, maecha loifa shamayim, bosar chasidecha lechaisei oretz, mai avodecha, mai chasidecha. What is that referring to? Lav chasidecha, chasidusecha, mamish. Rather, what it means is, lav chasidecha, chasidecha, mamish. When it says chasidim, that means literally the righteous people, and avodecha, do you know what that's referring to? Those are people who are essentially Rishoyim. They were chayiv to be killed by Beis Din. Once they were killed by Beis Din, they're now considered, how do we label them? What do we now call them? We call them Avodechos. So what do you see? That even though they died as Rishoyim, but if they were put to death as a Rishoyim, this would happen at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then they're zeichet to a kapara. So therefore, in the case of the Kohen's father, it's true, the Kohen's father was not zeichet to a kapara. Why was he not zeichet to a kapara? Because he died as a Rosh, he was not killed as a Rosh. But in the case, like you see in the Beis HaMikdash, where they were killed as a Rosh, he gets a kapara. So too in the case of Ir and Idachas, I should say, because he was killed by Beis Din as a Rosh, you should now get a kapara. And therefore, there really is a great proof to the principle of rejection. Omalei Abaye, and the bottom line, no, it's not the same. Mikom Adamus, you can't really compare Haruge Malchus laharuge Beis Din. Big difference. Who did the killing? Was it Beis Din who put him to death, or it was Goyim? Says the Gemara, if it was Haruge Malchus, he didn't necessarily deserve, wasn't tried in court in Beis Din, so therefore that death acts as a kapor. But Haruge Beis Din, I'm sorry to tell you, he jolly well deserved what he got. Given the Bedim Komiktili, lo have a kapor. And I can bring a raya, Teda. The Tanan, lo yoyu koivrin, didn't we say that the person killed by Beis Din is not buried in the regular Beis HaKvaros because he's a Rasha? Why is he a Rasha? Surely he's being killed now. The answer is, v'isal kadatoch, if you're going to tell me that kivin de'iktul havel kapara, that once he's being killed, it's a kapara, so why don't I say likvaru? So why can't I bury him now? Surely he's been zeichet to a kapara. So doesn't that show me that no, if you're killed by Beis Din, that's not a kapara? Says the Gemara, no. It could be that Misa v'kvura bo'ino. Maybe if you're killed by Beis Din, it is a kapara, but only if there's both death and also burial. Says the Gemara, one second. We said there's no avelus. Now the avelus is after the kvura. If you're going to tell me that following the burial there is a kapara, so liavli, why can't they maul? And the answer is, but you know, nami ikul basa, because they actually need three stages: death, burial, decomposing. Dekanami, yes, it's very meduik. Dektoni nisachel habasa. Once the basa, once the flesh decomposed, malakdin eswatzomis v'koyvenoisim bimkaimon shmami no. So what do you see from there? That indeed he is eventually zeicha to a kapara. When's he eventually zeicha to kapara? Not after the death, not after the burial. But after the body decomposes, you see that you now exhume the body, you rebury him. So what do I see? Why am I exhuming the body? It would seem to be that, yes, eventually he is indeed zeicha to a kapara. So if that's the case, what's now the final analysis? It turns out that if indeed somebody is killed by Beis Din, merely the fact that he's killed or buried will not bring a kapara. But eventually he is zeichet to a kapara, at least in the case of when his body is decomposing. So if we come back now to Ir HaNidachas, in the case of Ir HaNidachas, everybody is killed and then buried. So what happens after the guf starts decomposing? Now he gets a kapara. So why, if that's the case, do we now not sacrifice his korban? The answer must be, like we said before, it's
Different.
indeed conclusive proof to the principle of rejection. So it's true, it's not so simple. He's not immediately zeicha to a kapara, but he is eventually. And if he's eventually zeicha to a kapara, well, if that's the case, then the question comes back, why can I not now sacrifice the carbon? So we've conclusively proved the principle of rejection.
Rabbi, can I ask a question quickly?
Yep.
And by the way, it doesn't matter what you say because I'm going to ask because it's problem. Anyhow, it seems like in every case, no matter what, we come back. All right, so therefore we learn, once rejected, always rejected. But why do we keep needing to do this? There's obviously a cloud. Once rejected, always rejected. Now you back into it.
Right,
If you reverse
100%,
engineer it, you
100%.
can't find.
We're just 100%. We're just trying to work out, do we have a source for this halacha from Ir HaNidachas? The principle is true, undoubtedly. Rabbi Yosef says, I've got a proof, I've got a makor from Ir HaNidachas, That's what we're trying to work out. Is his principle, is his proof a good proof or not? But you're right, the principle remains either way.
So then why do we need a proof? Do we need a proof? If there's a
No,
halacha,
because it was initially Amoraim who said it. It was initially Amoraim who said it was Rabbi Yirmiyah. We're trying to work out, do we have a proof from a Braisa, from Tanoim? So the Amoraim said it. Rabbi Yosef is trying to back this up from Eir HaNidachas. In the final analysis, it turns out that yes, we do actually have a proof. Okay, we have to hold it over here. So, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we will complete our Chazara, and Be'ez Hashem, it should be enough time also to begin the new Sugya of Hazmona, all being well. Meanwhile,